Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I tell you, this has just been an awesome day already. There's not a cloud in the sky. The sun's up, the water's down, and we are on Chapter 13. Hey, the cool thing is, Jim Gilhouse got his book, and he's like as stoked about this thing as I am. And if you haven't picked up a copy of Tom Hopp's book, Time Out, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life, you need to go to tomhopp.com, pick up your book, and put the, when you check out in the coupon box, put Vima, and he'll donate $5 to the next project. I mean, this is a man that loves network marketing. He's a big proponent of helping the underprivileged. He's a big proponent of helping children. I can see now why BK Barreco just loves this guy.
I just thought of something. You know, you've been talking about that Vima Next project for quite a while since you've been doing this now. Why don't you tell our listeners what the Next project really is? Because some people might think you're a Vima distributor or something, man.
Yeah, I'm not a Vima distributor. But what happens is BK's got, listen, guys, this is important. When a CEO wants the best for his children, he creates a product. And he got over there and he got his formulators and they created Next Vitamins made with the Vima formula. Well, BK automatically, when he saw the health benefit that it was having for his own children, I've seen it with my kids and my grandkids. Here's what happened. He said, I want to make sure that kids have the opportunity to put Next, to have Next in their daily ritual, no matter how poor, how rich, it doesn't matter. So the Next project, for every $5 that's donated, that goes to delivering Next to orphanages around the world. It goes to delivering Next to schools and to soup kitchens and to church organizations, nonprofits here in the United States so that they can get vitamins. They can get a good liquid supplement. And folks, in some cases, because there are areas in the United States that are so poor that the only meals these kids get sometimes is at school. There's over 1.5 million children in the United States today that go hungry. And Vima, New Vision, the Barreco family, this is part of their passion. Tom Hopp has come right alongside with them and has said, you know what, we'll donate $5 from every one of my books. You got to do this. This is important. You know, and that's why we want you to donate that $5. And Jimmy, I'm glad you brought that up. And folks, you know, each chapter is something different. This one's called Taking the Shot. And Tom opens up every chapter with such a powerful, impacting statement. I want you guys to listen to this because it's important. It says, what is fear and how do you define it? Is fear bad? Is fear good? Is fear a thought or is it a feeling? For most people, when one experiences fear, there is a psychological sensation associated with it. It may lead to a rapid heart rate, sweaty palms, a dry mouth, nervous stomach, or an anxiety. But now listen, this is the important part. What if I told you the experience of fear and the experience of excitement is the same?
Let's take that a step further. He didn't mention this in the book, Troy, but let's take that a step further. What about anticipation? You know, anybody that's ever competed in any athletic endeavor, you know, right before the starting gun or the, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this, man. You know, it's off. I mean, think about Apollo Antonono at the Olympics, getting ready to take off. Think about Shaun White getting ready to swoop down into the half pipe. You know, the anticipation that they feel, those butterflies that you get in your stomach. You know, is it fear? Is it anticipation? Is it excitement? Does it matter? Psychologically, like he says in the book, they're all the same.
Well, wait a minute. Is anticipation the same as anxiety? Or is that like fear and excitement?
Well, you know what? Physiologically, this is, you know, I'm amazed with the level of research that he put into this thing because, as you mentioned, you know, I when I got this thing yesterday and I started looking through this book, I realized, I mentioned this to you when we first started, before we actually came on live.
Yeah.
This is not just a book. It's a workbook. It's an training course that will literally allow anyone. I mean, this is going to be one of those books that's going to rank on my bookshelf right there with the Go Giver and Go For No, you know, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I mean, dude, he takes and he looks at things from such a different perspective to give people insights into themselves, into their own mind, that it's, yeah, I love it, man. What I've seen so far, I'm blown away. I know now why you've been talking so heavily about this thing and why you wanted to get him on our other radio show on Aces Radio Live.
Oh, let me tell you, and here's the funny thing. You and I both see the same. I look at it as a workbook. I've written in it. But Tom told me the other day, he was on his way to Canada. He called me on the phone, and this was the hilarious part. He's actually working, Jimmy, on a workbook to go with this book, just like Maxwell has those workbooks with all his books. So if you can only imagine,
wow,
when we look at the homework in each chapter, think of what a full-fledged, I bet he calls it a life plan or something, but man, it's going to be, yeah, I know what he'll call it. He'll call it your game book. It's going to be, it's going to be the most coolest thing, if that's even a
yeah, good, I tell you what, this is, and folks, one of the things, there's going to be a misconception when people look at this initially and they say, you know, because on the front of it, he's using the timeout, the international symbol for time. This is not a sports book. I mean, don't get me wrong. From a sports psychology standpoint, this book could help you regardless of whether you're at a point in your sporting career where you're plateaued and you're trying to get past a certain point, or... And, you know, our show is about the home-based business industry primarily. But let me tell you what, in what I've seen of this book in the short 12 hours now, well, a little more than that. I got it at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So, you know, about 15 hours from now, you know, it has been amazing what I was able to see in this book. Now, granted, I did actually break down and get a few hours of sleep somewhere in that. Now, but I have been so impressed with the content of this book that, you know, one of Tom's biggest advocates, because I believe this is a book that can help anyone in any endeavor that they choose to employ these strategies with. Troy, I mean...
100%.
You've been telling me that. I'm just
echoing. I know, man, and it's cool. But, folks, let's go on here. I want you to listen to this. Here's how Tom sums this up in this first paragraph. He says, scientists have shown whether the experience is fear or excitement, the body has the same physiological response to the stimulus. Now, if that's true, if science is correct, and I believe they are, then why do most people associate fear with a bad feeling and excitement with a good feeling? Now analyze that, because if it's the same thing, science has proven the same thing. This goes back to what Tom said early on in this book. Your formulative years between 0 and 18 is where you create the plays in your mind. And in that stage of things, you're creating the fear. You're creating what you'll be afraid of. And in the book, it's kind of humorous, because in the book, Tom actually talks about all the movies on TV and the fact that the bad guys, all the stuff that happens is in the seedy part of town, the run-down, poor district of town. Now, when you look at that, you start to see that on TV, then when you're driving through town, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I mean, I took a wrong turn, this is a bad part of town, everybody that lives here must be bad people. I think they call that profiling in the political arena. But here's something that I find very humorous. I'm going to make this a life story. Paige has a cousin who grew up in Mexico because her dad was American, her mom was Mexican. They would watch Miami Vice on TV, and she would say when they were coming up here, she'd say, I don't want to go and see Paige. I don't want to go to America because all they do up there is kill people. It's all violent. I don't want to go to a big city. See, she created her experience based on TV. Where did your fear experience come from? See, today, one of the things that I do when I teach teenagers is we tell them, hey, go watch Friday the 13th. It's the best safe sex movie out there, because every time teenagers get ready to have sex, they get killed. Well, guess that based on Tom's analogy here and based on science, guess what? That may not be the best thing for us to do because, in theory, kids could actually think, man, I can't have sex at all when I get married because I could die. Because the fear process in your brain is the same as excitement, and you get confused. And all of a sudden, your body, your plays that you have say, oh, I gotta be afraid of risk. I watched a movie once called Wall Street, and if you try to be risky, if you try to do something for others, you're gonna get screwed. Something's gonna happen. The people with all the money are gonna get you. We see this in politics, and I'm not getting political, but listen to the whole series here. If you listen to the political rhetoric on both sides of the fence, you hear that Wall Street is bad, Main Street is good. But now I want to take that a step further. Most people on this call probably have a career. They may have a 401k. They may end up having an IRA. You have mutual funds. You're on Main Street. You're busting your butt. You're taking your money. You're investing in your retirement. Your money is going into the Wall Street. Guess what? We are just as much guilty of greed on Main Street as the players on Wall Street. Because when we were making all that money and our stocks were going up and we were flipping these houses and we were buying homes that we couldn't afford, guess what? We were excited. But then when the opposite took place, the market crashed, people got freaked out. Instead of taking the responsibility of saying, okay, I'm scared to death now, what can I do to fix this? We want to point fingers at other people. And the next time we won't be willing to take a risk. Folks, you have to take the risk. You've got to realize you've got to change your play. And the coolest thing, and it's a theme throughout this book that I just love, is that you on this radio show today, me, Jim, we have freedom of choice. You can decide, I'm going to change. Think of how it would be if we lived in old USSR. Some of you don't even know what that is, so I'm going to tell you, it's Russia. If we lived in Russia during the communistic reign, you didn't have a choice of how you thought. You lived in fear constantly because anything you say, anything you wore, the way you acted could put you in prison. We don't have that. You're living. You're talking to a radio show that is beaming out of the greatest country in the world. I think we're in like 100 and some odd countries now where people can listen. You have a freedom of choice. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to say, I'm not going to let the emotion of fear hold me back? I'm going to do some things. And Tom talks about some stuff that you can do in here. Things that I think is beautiful, because if you're willing to do this, your life will be totally different. Listen to what Tom writes. Choosing change is a risk. It's outside your comfort zone. However, in the realm of possibility, it is an abundant mindset where opportunities, solutions, and energy exist in moving forward in your life. You can, if you just take the risk, automatically you're going to have a little bit of movement. The great.
Hey, wait, Troy, hold on. I'm going to stop you before you continue with that paragraph, because we talk about this numerous different trainings before with different authors, with different guests on Aces Radio Live as well, because ultimately, I think what he's talking about here is that spirit of abundance versus spirit of scarcity mentality. You know, and the preconditioned mindset to whether we believe there's enough to go around, or if we want to hoard things and we're scared to death to give it away. I mean, let's think about this in terms of our own industry for a second. And how many times have you known distributors that have come into a company, you know, regardless of what company or what they market, but that company has some kind of a tool that's something to promote their product, service, company, or opportunity. And they buy those tools, those samples, and then they never give them to anybody.
I know that feeling. I think I have as much many old tools as I had old products sitting around.
You know, but I think that's really what he's onto here.
Well, he is, and that's the key, Jimmy. It's, you know, we can go down this path. Folks, listen. Let me flip back a page. What's this called? Taking the shot. You know what? We can sit there on the free throw line. Let's use that as an example. And we can hold the ball. We can bounce the ball. We can look up there and we can say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to miss. You know, they're going to win. And you know what? We're right. As soon as we shoot that ball, boom. So the next time we say, I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to win anyway. I'm not going to make the change. She's not going to say yes. The gatekeeper's not going to let me talk to the boss, whatever the case is. Or we can take the chance. We can choose the change. We can take the shot.
One of the things, hold on. I'm sorry. Forgive me for interrupting you, but as you can tell, I'm pretty jazzed
about
this.
You're
worse
than my wife. Go ahead.
Since I've started into this thing, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm seeing such a level of I'm impressed. I really am. Think about, you know, that basketball free throw line you talked about. How many professional basketball players immediately take the shot when they walk to the free throw line? Very few, right?
Very, yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen that actually.
Okay. Most of them will sit there, they'll bounce the ball two or three times, they'll look up at the hoop, they'll bounce the ball a couple more times, they'll look up at the hoop, and I believe, I don't know this to be a fact, but I've studied sports psychology enough to know that I would be willing to bet you dollars for donuts that 99.9% of them are taking that few seconds before they make the shot going in the hoop.
Oh, you know, I played basketball as a kid. I'm not an expert, but I can only imagine that. I believe that every athlete has to put in their mind, if they're going to be the best of the best, they've got to envision that ball going right through that hoop. They've got to envision that bat hitting that ball. Those NASCAR drivers, all they got to do is turn right more times and do it better and faster than anybody, or turn left rather, better and faster than anybody else does. And when you analyze,
I was going to say, if they turn right, brother, they're exiting the track.
I had to think of my left and my right, you know. I'd be turning right. That's why I'm not on the track. You know, it's like when I look at it, when you think about it, you've got to run the race in your mind. You've got to know without a shadow of a doubt. And, folks, let me explain a little bit deeper on that. Because Jimmy and I both share a military background. And, folks, it wasn't just about boot camp. It wasn't just about the book training. It was about the practical experience. It was about the simulation. It was about going through every move and scenario in your mind to where I can lay at night and I can go through move after move after move in hand-to-hand combat. I can sight my rifle and know exactly where that bullet's going to hit. I can anticipate a person's movement prior to their eyes ever blinking. And it's because you get into this mindset. You run the plays. But it goes back to what Tom wrote. You've got to take the chance. Most people will not take the chance. They're afraid. They're afraid of what their wife will say, their girlfriend will say, anything else. Think about this. If you're a man on this phone right now, 99% of the time, you can take ridicule from another man faster, better, with less emotional ups and downs than if a hot, beautiful woman comes up to you and says, dude, you're fat. You really need to lose weight. Because you're taught in your mind. Your mind has taught you this fear deal. Ooh, I want them to love me. I want them to like me. I want to flirt. But she said I was fat. I must be fat. A guy can say, you don't care less. You drink another beer. A woman says something to you, and all of a sudden you're wanting to change. The problem is, once she's out of sight, you go back to drinking with your buddies, and it's no big deal. Now, that's a little off subject, but think about that for a minute. Why is it that we're that way? Why is it we won't change? Why aren't we committed? Why aren't you fulfilling the resolution you made on January 1? See, you've got to get out of the comfort zone. This is why Jim and I both say all the time, it's never about your upline. It's never about the company. It's never about the product. It's about you. if you want to be a servant leader, if you want to build your own business, if you want to be a network marketing super stud, then you have to do some things. You've got to do your due diligence. You've got to interview your sponsor. You've got to train your downline. You have to be in charge. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. And if you don't do that, fear will eat you alive. You know, this happened, Jimmy, this last couple of days. I put up a blog post with some recordings of an individual that basically lied and made a lot of allegations and inferences about companies and stuff. And one of the things that he's written on our blog post was, well, this was a private call. I never thought it was going to be public. And it showed me, okay, what he says in private is different than what he says in public. And I thought, why is it that people, when they're going through life and wanting to build something, can't do it right? Can't do it in the way that in private they're the same way in public? You know, because they fear. They fear what people will say in public. Well, folks, here's what else happened. I posted this stuff up, and then all of a sudden another website came up overnight, slamming me with all kinds of rhetoric. And somebody over on our blog made a little comment. Well, Troy, this site over here is saying all this stuff about you. What say you? And I calmly wrote and said, well, since you all know who I am and my website's been up for a couple years and we're not hiding behind a private registry and we didn't just launch our site in April of 2010, I think it's cool. And see, here was the difference. I don't have a fear problem. I don't fear what people say because we try to report the fact. People that have hidden agendas, people that are fearful, you on this call today may be scared to death to change. You may be scared to death of change. But change is the only thing that's consistent in life. Everything is changing at all times. You have to be willing to take the plays. Now, here's what Tom says that we need to do. Number one, write this down on a piece of paper if you don't have the book. Number one, write down the worst five things that could happen to you personally or professionally by taking risks towards one of your huge goals. Write down the five worst things that could happen. I mean, this is so beautiful. The next thing that he says to do is now write down the five best things that could happen to you personally or professionally by taking risks towards one of your huge goals. Now, I'm going to go back to the blog for a second.
Hold on. Before you go any further, I want to touch on the psychology of what he did there is put the worst first and then put the best last, because psychologically, when you present the positive second, it always gives you inspiration to stretch the comfort zone and to move forward. You know, when you cover the positive aspects of something after you've covered the negative aspects of something, it brings a heightened level of awareness to, wow, maybe, you know, questions that we used to teach people all the time to ask prospects was to say simply, what if I'm right? What have you got to lose?
Ooh, so true. So true, right?
Now, for some reason, that simple question has gotten lost over the years since we've moved to the internet and we're not doing as much belly-to-belly and personal type of recruiting that we used to do, but the concept remains the same. What have you got to lose? What if I'm right?
What if? What if? That's it. What if? And folks, listen to this. What if, I mean, taking what Tom and Jim just said, what if you wrote down those five worst things and you realized, well, those aren't really bad things at all.
They're not
well,
so bad.
No big deal. All of a sudden, the emotion goes out. You know, a lot of times, and it's funny, Jimmy, when we think about this, because everybody says, well, people buy on emotion, and then they logically talk themselves out of it. Well, I get to think
about it. Or they justify
it
with logic.
They justify with logic. So I'm sitting here analyzing this for a minute, and I'm thinking, well, this is the same thing. If I write down the worst five things, it's obvious I'm going to be emotionally attached to those things. But then when I sit there and I actually look at them for a second, it's like, what's it matter? It goes back, and that's what I was going to say about the blog post. I knew when I made this recording go public that somebody would come up and say, well, did you have a right to record it? Well, I didn't record it. The owner of the actual conference call bridge gave it to me. And I do have a right to share information. I knew I would be lamb blasted by critics galore. But was it worth it to allow the network marketing community to know there was a vulture in their midst? I believe that it was. All of a sudden,
you know,
I realized,
Troy, that's funny because you remember the incident that we had got a little over a year ago where, you know, a collective group of network marketing leaders came together on Aces Radio Live have a conversation about and potentially a so-called leader in the industry that literally defames every company except for the one that they belong to and uses a fear-based recruiting strategy. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Well, I posted a conversation that I had had, an instant message conversation that I had had with that individual where they told me that, you know, they didn't have the time to come on and debate this subject with any other leaders, you know, that was nothing but silliness. Just like what you're talking about, one of the questions that I got asked was, well, did you have the right to post that? You know, did you have the right to record that? Skype automatically recorded the conversation for me. All I did was present the facts so that people realize that this person was not to be trusted. Plain
right.
and simple.
And that's the thing. Folks, you've got to take risk. There's going to be risk involved. Now, Tom makes it very clear, and this is what you have to understand, everything that you do when you go through life, whether it gives you a fear or a feeling of pain or a feeling of pleasure, doesn't matter. You cannot hold resentment. You cannot create that resistance, and you cannot go after revenge. And when you get rid of all that and you realize in most cases, not all maybe, because there are some absolutes in life, but in most cases, it's not about who's right or who's wrong. It's not about good or bad. It's about what are you doing at that moment? What play are you playing? Are you on automatic pilot or are you actually moving forward consciously to change your life? This chapter is about taking the shot. You got to take the first shot. Going back,
Troy, I really love what he says in the very last paragraph, in the first two sentences in this chapter, where he says, "Let go of the fear that stops you in your life and embrace change.
Oh, yeah.
Start today with having a new and different relationship with fear." You know, that reminds me of the psychology of learning from the standpoint that learning itself is defined as a change in behavior as the result of an experience. Now, that experience, it can be a mental experience or it can be a physical experience. Doesn't matter. But the change in behavior is caused by that experience and results in a habit formation. Because typically, when someone has an experience that's going to cause them to change their behavior and hence create a learned experience, if you will, then they're going to change the habits that they have. And you've touched on this so many times already in the course of this book about embracing change. I don't know how many times now since I've heard you talking about this. You know, it seems like it resonates throughout the book, and you have really made a great point of it. Folks, in order to move forward in any endeavor that we pursue, we want to do in life, the to embrace change.
That's the key right there. Embrace change. Folks, this has been a great show. I always love it when Jim's with us. Tomorrow on Radio for Your Mind, it's Friday, we're going to talk about the pivot and drive to the... Tomorrow's Thursday. The pivot and drive to the basket. It's going to be... I mean, this is... Chapter 14 is like a pinnacle part of this book, and we're going to hit it, and we're going to hit it hard. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. Jim and I will see you back here tomorrow morning. Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.